I thought we were in trouble first. I didn't see the altar book in there. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, be multiplied to each of us today and forever. Amen. What a wondrous time we have when we can gather before the Lord in His Word, even this morning. Even as we studied and we spoke in the adult Sunday school class, that we, as God's children, we have this love one for another. We have this love one for another because we recognize and we know, because the Spirit has even revealed to us the great price that has been paid for us, that when the Lord Jesus Christ has purchased us from death and separation from God forever, He has purchased us to be His own. He has called us from this world of sin and darkness into the glorious light. His work, this wondrous work of salvation within our hearts, His given us strength that we're able to believe the precious promises, believe that Jesus Christ has come into this world to save us from our sins, that He has shed His blood even for the forgiveness of our sins, and He has given unto us even the Holy Spirit that has given unto us this precious living faith, this living faith that we're able to believe that we are the children of God. We're able to believe that our home is in heaven, that our sins are forgiven, that we're not afraid to stand before a righteous, all-knowing God, because we believe that Jesus has paid it all. Well, what a wondrous time that we have even now, here, even today, where we can take and yet, as I mentioned, we can, this love, extend one to another. And how do we extend that love one to another? We can see that Alona and Carol, that they're not with us today. Carol's precious daughter, Robin, that she's suffering from cancer. She had an operation earlier, and they thought that they had gotten all the cancer, but it's come back. It's come back, and I'm sure that you can just imagine yourselves that as even a parent that indeed loves your dear child, that you can imagine what Carol is going through. You can imagine that how she must be pleading with the Heavenly Father that her precious Robin, that the Lord would lay His healing hand upon her. And even with Betty, that she just found out that her oldest daughter, Lori, she found out that Lori has Parkinson's disease. With it, I'm sure that our hearts go out to both of them. And I'm sure the love that we feel for them, we feel also for their children. But we have this precious gift that that God has given unto us, that we can pray for one another. And because of this love that the Lord has so shown unto us and has united us together in Jesus Christ, that we'd want to utilize that precious gift that he gives unto us. Even this intercessory prayer, that we could pray even to the Heavenly Father that he would intercede and help these dear ones, these precious ones that are so afflicted with these horrible diseases. Let us turn our hearts to the Heavenly Father in word of prayer and in thanksgiving. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, dear Lord, because we know that thou art all-powerful, thou art almighty, and thou art all-loving, full of grace, full of mercy. We bring before your precious throne even today, dear Lord, Robin and Lori. They're afflicted with these terrible diseases, dear Lord. And we know that in ourselves that we are totally helpless to do anything. But the one thing we can do, dear Lord, we can come before you even as beggars of grace, pleading with you, dear Lord, that please help Robin, help Lori, help Carol, help Betty. We ask, dear Lord, that you would work not only on the natural diseases that they have, but dear Lord, also work mightily in their hearts. Work mightily in their hearts that they would indeed come to that place where they're able to totally believe that Jesus Christ loves them, that Jesus Christ has come into this world to save them from their sin, that he has shed his blood even for the forgiveness of their sins, and work mightily and draw them closer unto you, Lord. Help them. Help them and allow that this precious love that could be extended unto them. Help us, Lord, because we want to continue holding Betty and Carol in our prayers, even for the well-being of their precious children. Help us that we will continue to remember them and continually pray unto you, dear Lord, because we know, dear Lord, that the prayers of the righteous, they avail much. We're told that you hear these prayers, that our prayers are brought before you even in these golden vials. That's how precious our prayers are to you when you hear them. So we ask, dear Lord, that let thy will be done. And we thank you, dear Lord, for all these things. We thank you, dear Lord, and we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. For text of meditation this morning, I'd like to turn to the epistle that's right near the end of the Bible, 1 John. I'd like to read from chapter 2. That's 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18. Beginning with verse 18. Through verse 29, the last verse of chapter 2. And I will read this in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Little children, it is the last time. And ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that life is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is a promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in it, or abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Amen. This epistle, this letter, was written by the Apostle John, the youngest of all disciples. And it was written when he was yet in his old age. Some of the last writings of the Bible. And he's writing it to the children of God. He's writing it to the believers. He's writing it to us. And he refers to us as little children. The reason he refers to us as little children, that before our Heavenly Father, before the eyes of Almighty God, when Jesus has done this wondrous work of salvation within our hearts, we are God's little children. And God loves each one of us. So he writes to us that little children, he said, it is the last time. The last time. And we recognize that the last time refers to the end times before Jesus comes again. Jesus is coming again. And when he comes this time, it won't be like when he came the first time as a little babe. But when he comes, he'll be coming with all his might and with all his glory. And the word tells us when Jesus comes, and that every knee will bow, and every tongue will acknowledge that he is the Christ. When Jesus comes again, then the door of grace is closed. When Jesus comes again, there's no more forgiveness. The condition of heart and soul of a person, when Jesus comes again, that is the condition of that heart and that soul. The way it will be on everyone that stands before the judgment seat of Christ, because every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and everything will be opened and revealed. John writes so that we would recognize these things, so we wouldn't let this time just waste away. But we see also in this, when he refers to this last time, Jesus spoke himself. He spoke about what things would be like in these last times. He spoke that it'd be times worse than they've ever been. There'd be more deception that would take place, and that deception would be so strong. He said that if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. But then Jesus said that for the elect's sake, the days will be shortened. Otherwise, nobody would be saved. Little children, you have heard that Antichrist shall come. We've probably heard of this description of Antichrist, and it refers to that one that at the end of time, that Antichrist is one that'll come that will deceive the whole world. He'll come as a counterfeit Jesus Christ, and the whole world will follow him. This Antichrist, it talks about, even in the book of Revelation, that this Antichrist is a man. It says, you shall know him because it's a number of a man, 666. And I don't know for sure what that means. How's it when you see 666, and it's been depicted in many different things, but I don't know what 666 indeed exactly. It hasn't been revealed to me exactly what that is, but we know that it is one who will rise up. He'll deceive the whole world. He'll have millions and millions who will be following him. They'll think that he is a salvation for all mankind. That everything that he does, he'll be able to make all things right, all things so they'll be all good. But in effect, he'll be deceiving man and causing man to maybe even blaspheme the Holy Spirit and walk away from a salvation that's offered so fully and so freely. But when I read this over too, that I can see that it's not only a man, but I believe it's all toward time. Because when we look at this Antichrist, we might look at it and say, well, it's someone who's against Christ. But then also what it is, it's one who does everything exactly contrary to what Christ does. We know in Jesus Christ, when we read about him, we know that there's love. there's joy, there's forgiveness, there's grace, there's mercy, long-suffering. With this Antichrist and with the time, the season, when the spirit of Antichrist starts to become so strong, it's a time that's filled, instead of love, there's hatred. Instead of joy, there's misery. Instead of grace, there's hatred. All these things. Instead of praising God, there's cursing. The more I was thinking about it, the day and age we're in, I wondered, because it's such a strong movement today that we see so many of these things that they become very evident. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour when Jesus is coming again. But we certainly know the season, don't we? When Jesus says there'll be times worse than they've ever been. I'm a little bit older than most of you, and in my lifetime I've never seen things like they are today. I've never seen everything just going the way it is, and things that we look at that are happening today that people accept. When I was younger and like that, we'd look at them and it almost seemed like there was a definite right and wrong when I was young. Even with those who didn't profess to be Christians, that there was a definite right and wrong amongst people. Is there today? When we see the, and I'll use the term, hideous things that is being pushed upon society, and society is following today, it would have been totally, totally rejected, you know, as being so totally wrong. Even the killing of God's most precious gifts, these little ones. And it's being pushed at saying that it's the right of a mother to do that. She has that right to do that, and there's nothing wrong with it. Anyone that would oppose her doing it is the one that's wrong. You know, and I don't have to elaborate on things that are happening today, because you see them. You see what's happening. This indeed is, I believe, the work of this Antichrist. The season that we're in. This is a time, it's a treacherous time that we're in. A very, very dangerous time that we're in. And that's why even the Apostle John writes, even to us, they would recognize it, they would know it. That more and more, that indeed, that we would, they would examine, in light of the scripture even, that how is it with me? How is it with you? Are we standing in the truth of God's word? What is the most important thing to us? And then he talks about, and even Jesus said, we remember that when he asked the question of his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered many different answers, that thou art one of the prophets, thou art John the Baptist, Then Jesus said he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "That thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, you are the Savior of the world. You're the one that God has sent to this world that he might come to save us from our sins. Jesus told Peter then, he said, "The flesh and blood haven't revealed this to you, my Father in heaven." And that's indeed who reveals to us indeed who Jesus is. It's through the Word, God through the Spirit, that reveals to us that indeed Jesus Christ is our Savior, the Savior of our souls. And then Jesus said, upon this revelation, he said, "I shall build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The living church is built upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, that he is mine, he is your Lord and your Savior. He has taken your sin and paid for it in full. He has shed his blood for you. This is what the church is built upon. But we see in this day and age that with so many is that the belief? It doesn't appear to be, does it? And then he says, we see that he talks about what I've seen in my lifetime too. America was known as a Christian nation. America is the one that has sent more missionaries around the world to bring forth the saving gospel of Jesus Christ than people from any other country. Is America a Christian nation today? We see what's happening. You can answer that for yourselves when you see. As John says, that they went out from us. There's so many that have left the ways of this precious living faith. There's so many that have left where the blood of Christ flows fully and freely and washes away sin. There's so many have left where Jesus Christ is our everything. There's so many that have left and don't even believe that he's a reason why we have this hope that lies within us. He said that these that have left, if they had been of us, they would have continued. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they weren't of us. People, they can walk away from Jesus Christ because they've never been in him to begin with. They've never been able to believe that Jesus Christ has come into this world and has shed his blood for the forgiveness of their sins. But instead they follow the philosophy and the ways of the world. There's so many that to them all that matters is as long as they believe something. Truth is not important. They don't seek after the truth that's only in Jesus Christ and in God's Word. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." He said, "No man comes to the Father except by me." Jesus is that truth. But people reject the truth, they reject Jesus Christ. We see it so prevalent in the world today. He says that you have, but that you're not one of these who have walked away from the living God. He says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. What's an unction? You have been anointed by the Holy Spirit. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to your heart and soul and has washed your sins away. The Holy Spirit lives and abides within your heart. You are the precious child of God. You belong to Jesus Christ. And you have the Holy Spirit that abides, lives in your heart, and testifies with your spirits that you're the child of God. You belong to Him. You have this anointing. He says, I haven't written unto you because you don't know the truth. He said, but I've written unto you because you know the truth. You know the truth. When you hear these so many false things that are happening, and these things are being said, because you have the Holy Spirit, because you've been anointed even by the Holy Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit that reveals all things unto you, that you have the Word of God. You know Jesus Christ, you know the truth, and you know that when untruthful things are being pushed, and he uses later on even the word that they're trying to seduce you, these untruthful things, but you have the truth, you are the child of God. So he asks this question, that who is a liar? We know that there's truth and there's lies. Anyone that doesn't have the truth is a liar. It's only these two. So he asks the questions, who is a liar? A person is a liar that denies Jesus is the Christ. A person that says that Jesus is not the Messiah, the Savior of the world. If someone says that, he's a liar. Instead, he is an antichrist. He's totally, totally contrary against Christ, because he lies and he denies the truth. And not only does he deny that Jesus is the Savior of the world, but then also, what does he do? He denies both the Heavenly Father, God Almighty Himself, and he denies Jesus Christ. There's a belief in the world today that as long as everybody believes something, it might say that everybody, if they believe that there's a God, they're okay. They're going to be saved. They're going to heaven. Because God loves everybody. That's not what the Word of God says. That's not what Jesus said. People can say and can picture God as being almost anyone or anything. Does that save them? Jesus said, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It's only through Jesus Christ that there is eternal life. No other way. regardless of what anybody would say, regardless of what's being taught any place. Society teaches us that everybody is a child of God. That's not true. The Word of God doesn't say that. It's only those who the work of Jesus Christ has taken place within their heart that they believe. They have this living faith that God has given unto them. Even little children, they have this living faith. Because Jesus was even asked that when they didn't want these little children coming around Jesus, Jesus told his disciples that suffer not for these children to come. In other words, that allow them to come unto me. And Jesus pointed out, this is indeed what the kingdom of God is like. These little ones who believe on me. And then he said that unless you become as these little children, these little children who believe on me, you'll never have eternal life in heaven. So we see that even little children, that they have a saving faith. Whosoever denieth the Son, whosoever takes and rejects it, indeed Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life in heaven. For anyone that will reject that Jesus Christ, that he has come to save us from our sins, anyone that rejects that, the same person, he doesn't have God Almighty. He doesn't have the Heavenly Father. But he that acknowledges the Son, he that indeed believes and trusts that Jesus Christ has come to save us and believes that Jesus Christ has shed his blood even for the saving of our souls, not only does he have the Son, but he has the Father also. He said, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. That you have heard, the truth that's in Jesus Christ, let it continue. The truth that's in God's word, the testimonies of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, let it continue even today to be in your heart. That you have heard it from the very beginning, from the time that you were very little, very young, you have heard it. From the time that you first believed, continue in that truth that you have heard. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, if it continues to be in you, he also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. If that you have heard, like even in the very beginning, what is it that you have heard? When your hearts have been troubled and you're able to talk to your moms or your dads or another believer and you have been encouraged to believe that Jesus Christ loves you. Believe that Jesus Christ, that he has paid for your sins. Believe that you have a home in heaven. If you continue believing this, it says, if you continue in the Son and the Father, that you have this promise that comes from God. From God himself, this promise comes to you. And what is that promise? That promise is that you have eternal life. You have a home in heaven. That Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you, so that there where he is, you will be also. Continue in this precious living faith. that's in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. And then John says, these things I've written unto you so that those who try to seduce you, so those who try to take and draw you away from that living truth, so that you don't follow them, you don't listen to them, but that rather you continue in that truth. He said, the anointing which you have received of Him, it continues in you. You are the child of the living God. You have the Spirit of God that lives in your heart, the Spirit of God that richly and daily even forgives you all your sins. The Spirit of God that will continue to be with you all the way to eternal life. This is the anointing that you have, precious child of God. And He teaches you all things. It's the Spirit of God that teaches, even in your hearts and souls. He lifts up Jesus Christ. He reveals all things of Jesus Christ unto you. He reveals the truth totally unto you. And all this is truth, and it's no lie. And even as it has taught you, if you abide in Him, you have eternal life, because you have the truth. And He said, and now, little children, and He's talking to every one of us when He refers to us as little children, and He's exhorting us, abide, continue to abide, live in Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus has separated you from this world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. We belong to Jesus Christ. Continue to walk in Him. Regardless of the drawing that's out there, continue in Jesus Christ. So then when He shall appear, and He is coming again. So when He comes again, that we might have confidence, that when you stand before Jesus Christ when He comes again, He's saying if you continue to live in Jesus Christ and abide in Him, that you will have this confidence and you won't be ashamed. You won't be ashamed to stand before Him. You won't be ashamed thinking that I am lost now. That when judgment comes, it almost appears that already we know exactly what judgment will be to us. Isn't it interesting when you consider how God has made it? He makes it so that here in this time of grace, the time when His mercy and forgiveness is offered so fully and freely, He allows that we go through judgment here. Why is that? Because when we go through this judgment and we find that we're guilty of sin, we've committed sin, we can take and we can put that sin away, we can have that sin forgiven, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when those sins are forgiven, washed, separated from us as far as the east is from the west, God remembers those sins no more. Those sins, even on that judgment day, they'll be totally removed. Never brought up again. This is a judgment that we go through here. So then, that judgment when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, that judgment seat, we'll hear from Him, come you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom that I have prepared for you from the very foundation of the world. It's a righteous judgment. We'll be judged and we'll be invited to spend eternity with Him in heaven. If you know that he is righteous. If you know that indeed Jesus Christ is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness, everyone who walks as a child of God, that they are born of Jesus Christ. If they walk in a godly way, you know that they're of God. May God richly bless each one of us. May he allow his word to work wondrously in our hearts, that even today, what a blessing it is when we are able to partake of the true body and the true blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're able to partake of that body that by faith we partake of it, knowing that it is the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us. Broken for us as payment for our sins. We're able to partake of the blood of Jesus Christ because that blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us, even for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus, he gives us this communion that we can commune with him, that we can be united with him, come together with him, he in us and us within him, so that we can be strengthened, so that we can continue walking as a precious, redeemed children of God. May God richly bless each one of us, we ask. And we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.